Good morning, everybody. Yeah. Right. Man, it's in the middle of this. Look at there. I got a fist bump, finally. I got two of them. Yes. Oh, man. We don't even need a message this morning if we just keep doing this. Oh, it's so good to see everybody here this morning. It's the middle of summer and all kinds of things going on, but you just heard Jody, so many good things happening right here, and I'm just grateful to everybody who makes that stuff happen. All you dream teamers that get the job done every week, can we just give them a hand just for, yeah, amen. This morning we're going to continue a series we're calling Grace Point Church, or GPC Values. Now, values, let's define the word values for just a minute. Let's talk about it. Values are just principles that guide our lives. You might have values for your family. You might have values for yourself personally. We have values here for our church, and all that does is keeps us on track. Like your family might have, your values might be, we eat dinner together every night. This is important. It's a value in our lives that we eat dinner together. Or we have a value that we try to handle our money in the way that God would want us to, and we try to budget well. Or maybe you celebrate certain things in your family. You celebrate wedding anniversaries and you celebrate birthdays, and those things are very important, and you work your schedule around that. Now your family's not perfect, but when things start getting off track a little bit, or maybe even say, we go to church every Sunday. We're there. We're not going to change that value. That is a value for us. And then when things get a little off track, values just allow you to come back to what is important and show you the path forward. It just reminds you that this is the stuff that will get you where you want to go. If we do these things, it'll get us where we want to go. I like to think of values as the bumper pads at the bowling alley. I mean, if you throw a gutter ball when there's bumper pads up, it's on you, right? And values are the bumper pads that keep you from throwing a gutter ball. Now, you might not throw a strike every time, but at least you didn't throw a gutter ball. Values just keep you focused down the lane and make sure that you end up in the right place. So Grace Point values are the same thing. We've got four of them that we talk about a lot around here. The first one is love God. The second one is love others, give excellence, and have fun. We believe very deeply that you got to love God first. That's the most important. The Bible actually says it's the most important commandment of them all is to love God. And then the second most important commandment, it tells us, is to love other people. So we're going to start with Mark chapter 12 this morning. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. It says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Let's stop there. He said, first of all, love God with everything about yourself. Love God. Just pour everything in your life into God's hands and let Him use you. Love God. But in verse 31, the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, let's don't go any further. Just look at somebody around you and ask yourself the question, do I love them as much as I love me? There's a little chuckle going on. I don't know what that's about this morning. We understand this one's kind of puts you on the spot. Love God. We're all like, yes, we're going to love Jesus. Oh, we just want to love Jesus, right? But then he says, I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. Now think about the neighbor that lives next door to you that always has the loud parties at night. You know the one I'm talking about? Yeah. The one that called the cops on you that one time. Never mind. We're not going to talk about that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God. God's perfect. It's easy to love God. But now he's really putting it on us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, watch this. If we go extended periods of time without serving other people. Now, watch. If we go extended periods of time without loving and serving other people, then we become self-centered and selfish people. When we're not thinking about others, the scary thing is we turn into somebody that we don't even like. You know those self-centered people in your life. You're like, I don't even like them. I don't want to be around those people. And yet when we go extended periods of time without serving other people and caring about other people, then we look in the mirror one day and we go, "Ooh, I'm the jerk I've been talking about all this time. I'm the guy that only thinks about himself. I don't really care about other people." Now, we don't say those things to ourselves, but maybe we should. It's a scary thing when we become self-centered and self-serving. Self-centeredness is a problem in our society. There's so much going on right now that is telling us that if you'll just think about you, then everything else will work out. And the Bible teaches us completely the opposite thing. The Bible never tells you, just take care of you and think about you, and then one day, maybe after you're okay, you can think about other people. The Bible never tells us this. The Bible constantly reminds us to serve other people in our life. Now, there's this lack of purpose and calling in our world. We're sort of floating along aimlessly. We don't really know what we're supposed to do. We don't really have. So many people are dealing with a feeling of purposelessness. Now I would propose this morning that the reason we're dealing with that in our culture and our society is because we are so focused inward that we can't find the giftedness and the calling and the purpose that God has for our life. Because God is going to always have us focusing outward. Now watch this. I, according to God, I will never be the main purpose in my life. According to God, you will never be the focus of your life. You can't focus on you all the time, and I can't focus on me all the time. When I turn myself into my purpose and into my calling, I'm just going to take care of me. It's like digging a hole so deep. It's like a bottomless pit, and then we're trying to fill it up with teaspoons. I'm going to do this for me. But I'm a bottomless pit. I cannot ever be satisfied. Personal satisfaction comes from a life of purpose. And I can't be my purpose. Because no matter how good things are, no matter how wonderful things are, it's never enough. Well, we've laughed about this many times, but when you finally get to buy your first new car and then you get it home, you're so excited, and you just, I just want to tell somebody and let me put it on Facebook. And then 45 days later, the payment book shows up. And you're like, man, I wish I had my old jalopy back. I just want to drive that old ugly car. It's not as satisfying as I thought it was. Why? Because I'm a bottomless pit. Because when I drive my new car down the road, nothing wrong with new cars, all right? But when I drive my new car down the road, then I drive up to the red light and I see somebody that's got a car that's worth 10 times what my new one is. It's not satisfying. I'm a bottomless pit and I'm trying to fill me up a teaspoon at a time and it's not fulfilling. And when I try to live like that, I just got to constantly feed the monster and I'm the monster. Got to think about me, think about me, think about me, think about me. They did me wrong. They hurt me. And I carry this and I'm constantly just focusing on me and I'm insatiable. I can't be satisfied. Imagine this. You ever at home and you say, you know, I'm hungry. I just don't know what I want. Anybody ever said that? And then you go to the pantry and you're like, a half a bag of potato chips ought to do it. And you eat the half a bag of potato chips and you're still standing at the pantry, stuffing them in. There's crumbs on your shirt and on the floor. And you get halfway through the bag and you go, no, that's not it. Then you're like, oh, look, somebody bought Oreos. I'm just going to take a sleeve of Oreos here and try this for a minute. After the sleeve of Oreos, and now you got chocolate on your chin and there's a big mess on the floor. You guys, just not it. I'm not satisfied. And And then, you know, by now, let me go to the fridge and warm up some of last night's pizza, and a couple of pieces later, that's not really it either. I'm going to try some pickles. I'm going to try a slice of cheese. And then before you know it, you're in the freezer, and you got a spoon, and you're eating ice cream straight out of the bucket, just hoping nobody shows up. And then you say something really dumb, like, I guess I'm just not hungry. I ate a whole grocery list, and I'm just not satisfied. And that's okay every now and then. All right, I think you ought to do that every now and then just for fun. But to live my life like that, constantly feeding myself, let me try some of this, let me try some of that, let me get some of this, this will satisfy me. If I can spend more money or lose more weight or whatever it is, then I'm finally going to feel like the person I want to feel like. And the problem is, I'll never get that by just feeding me. I'll never get what I'm looking for by just feeding me. It's what happens when I just focus on me and my purpose. I become the purpose of my life. Remember, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. I can never get enough. And the Bible warns us about this repeatedly. Just over and over again, it warns us. Philippians chapter 2, look at this. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. It's really telling us to think of others first before we think of ourselves. James 3:16, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Now let's unpack this in a little bit. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, when you are looking and you're just looking at the world and saying, boy, I wish I had that. That's what envy is. I just want what they have. I just wish I had what they have. Oh, if we could just have the stuff they, and then we get selfish ambition and we start just thinking about ourselves only. He said, when you are only thinking about yourself like this, watch what happens. There you find disorder and every evil practice. Your whole life is just in disorder because we're focused on trying to satisfy ourselves. Look at the next verse, James 4:3. And even when you ask, he's talking about prayer. He's talking about prayer here. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. He's saying, you're an adult and you are talking to God like he's Santa Claus. Lord, I just, give me. Lord, if you'll just do some more stuff for me, I'll be satisfied. And he said, it's never going to happen. All of the Ten Commandments are teaching us how to interact with God and how to interact with other people. The last five of the Ten Commandments address our tendency towards selfishness when it comes to other people. Number six in the Ten Commandments says this, thou shalt not kill. Now that's the ultimate in selfishness right there. He said, you shall not kill. And then he says, you shall not commit adultery. Don't be thinking about yourself. Don't be committing adultery. Be thinking about your marriage. All right. Thou shalt not steal. Don't be taking stuff just to make yourself feel better. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Don't be lying about people. And then he says, here's the last one. He saves this to last. You shall not covet. What is coveting? That's wanting what somebody else has. God gave it to them, and I just want it. And the 10th commandment says, don't be doing that. Don't be looking across the street or across the aisle and wishing you had what the other person has. God has a plan for us, but we're selfish, right? Serving ourselves was never meant to bring us fulfillment. Serving me was never meant to bring me fulfillment. God created a way for us to find fulfillment, and that is very simple, loving and serving other people. When I love and serve, that's where fulfillment comes from. When I'm thinking about others before I think about me. Now look, I don't want you to serve and love others simply because God's going to do good things for you when you do these things. But I think it's important for us to know how God blesses us when we love and serve other people. So I want to give you three ways God blesses us when we love and serve others. The first one is this. God blesses us when we love and serve other people. Number one, serving allows us to discover and develop our spiritual gifts. When we serve others, it allows us time to discover and develop our spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 6 and 7. God works in different ways. He's talking about in you and me. God's going to work in one way in your life. He's going to work a different way in mine. Your circumstances, he gave you different circumstances than he gave me. So he's going to use us in different ways. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. He gave you, he said to each of us, every one of us has been given at least one gift, one ability, one talent that is going to help somebody else along the way. Now you might be thinking, well, I don't have any gifts. Well, then you're calling the Bible a liar. I don't know what to tell you. Because this is what we do. We say, I could say to you this morning, what do you need to work on in your life? And you come up with, you know, we got to get an extra legal pad. You know, it's like, I got stuff to work on. I need to work on me. But if I say to you, what are your gifts? You know, we kind of give, oh, you know, I don't really have any gifts. I'm just a worker bee. And it's false humility, because the word tells us you have been given a gift. You have been given something that you are good at, or you will be good at, to help other people. You might be thinking, I don't have any gifts, but I want to share three principles with you. If we have received grace, then we have received a gift. If you've accepted Jesus, then you've received a gift. We're responsible before God to use our spiritual gifts. What talent, what ability have you been given that is sitting in your life dormant right now? You just had that in the closet for a while. You're like, I don't know. I don't want to bring that spiritual gift out because it's uncomfortable, because I it'll take up extra time. It'll cost me something. And then here's the third one. We have to discover our spiritual gifts. Along the way, as you serve other people, you start to find out what your spiritual gifts are. You don't just unwrap your gifts like it's Christmas morning. You know, Christmas morning, they call out your name, right? Grandma or dad or mom or somebody calls out your name. And you run up there and you get your gift and you sit down and you tear it open. Somebody worked so hard to wrap that gift. And you just tear it open and stuff goes everywhere. And you grab it. It's the toy you wanted and life is great. You just had to unwrap it and use it. That is not the way spiritual gifts work. Spiritual gifts have to be discovered and they have to be developed. You develop your gifts, now stay with me, you develop your gifts by trying something and failing. You discover your gift when you try something, you're like, maybe God is leading me in this direction, maybe God could use me to do this, and you try it and then it just fails. And then you try it again, or you try something else, and it fails again. And then you try something one day, serving and loving other people, and somebody says, thank you for doing that. That meant a lot to me. And you go, oh, wait a minute. I might be onto something right here. Maybe this is something that God has gifted me to do. And then you get some encouragement, so you try it again, and somebody says to you later, hey, you're pretty good at that. It could be a believer in Christ, a strong brother or sister in Christ that says to you, I see something in you. You got something going on in that area. I noticed that you are really good at this. And watch what happens. It turns into a cycle. You start to serve, and then you get encouraged, and then you want to serve more, and then you get more encouragement, and then you want to serve more, and it just goes on and on and on. And you develop the spiritual gifts that God has given you. And you get the idea. The process repeats over and over again. And the purpose of our life is revealed as we discover and develop our gifts. God's called you to do something. God's called you to do something. It's so easy to sit back and feel my life is unfulfilling. I just don't feel it. I don't sense it. It's not there. But we love and serve others because of what God has already done in our lives. But the more we love and serve others, the more God does in our lives. God just does more, and he works in greater ways. But God needs us to be engaged in that process. So loving and serving other people is where we find our fulfillment. Here's number two. What you do for others, God will do for you. If you don't get anything else we say this morning, get this one. What you do for others, God will do for you. Proverbs 11, 25. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. I think I want to get in on that generous stuff. Now notice it didn't say a rich person will prosper. It said a generous person will prosper. What's generous for you? It might be $5 in your world. It may be $1.50 in your world. It may be $5 million in your world. I don't know. But a generous person will prosper. God will bless someone who is generous with what God has already given them. Remember, you got to love others. Love your neighbor as yourself. When I'm generous, God blesses me. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. We're running around trying to figure out how to refresh ourselves and how to deal with the stress. And God's given us this beautiful picture of as we serve other people. Now listen, you're not going to serve people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You got to have some downtime. Even God said you need to take a Sabbath. All right, you got to turn it off every now and then. But the way we get refreshed is by refreshing other people. Look at the next scripture, Ephesians 6 and 8. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. Whatever you do for others, God is going to do for you. What do you need from God right now? What do you need from God right now? Is it you need a financial blessing? Maybe you ought to scrape up the quarters and give them away. Give God something to work with so that God can bless the generous person. We start by saying, what can God do in my life and how can I serve it? Loving and serving others creates a multiplying effect in my own life. Now, I'm not going to serve and love because of that, but it's a byproduct. God always blesses us more than we bless others. So what do you need from God? Let's start doing that for other people. Here's number three. Loving and serving others is good for the soul. It's just good. It's good for your mental health. Don't look at your spouse, all right? Like, he needs some help. This is for honey, this point is for you. Loving and serving others is good for your soul. Acts 20 and 35. Look what it says. And everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, those who are struggling. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed. Maybe you say blessed. It's more blessed to give than receive. You're more blessed when you give than when you receive. God will do so much good. He's saying when you're a giver, when you're a server, when you love other people, God's going to do so much in your life that you will be happier than you would have if you just tried to fulfill yourself. That word blessed means happy. You're going to be happier. You and I are happier when we love and serve people. Boy, y'all are quiet this morning. I'm happier when I serve. That's what the word says. Studies have shown that volunteering is good for the mind and the body, and it helps fight depression. Serving other people. Tapping into our gifts and our passions and building self-confidence. And it builds self-confidence. It builds energy. It builds strength in us. There's all kinds of benefits for loving and serving other people. Well, look at this list. It reduces stress. Anybody got any stress in your life? Don't point at anybody, all right? Like, this person is causing me stress. We all get it. It reduces stress when we serve other people. I could do with a little less stress. You could too. It increases connection. It increases friendships. It increases concern for each other. It gives new perspective. You ever serve somebody that's less fortunate than you? And you realize, whoo, I got a lot to be thankful for. I could be there. I could be in this hospital instead of visiting this hospital. I could be broke instead of being able to give. It gives us a new perspective. It increases happiness. We already said it. It builds self-esteem. When we love and serve other people, it builds our, it encourages optimism. It creates some optimism in us. Now watch this. Why would we not serve? Knowing all that from the Bible, why would we not serve? We make up all kinds of explanations for not serving. We say things like, I don't have time. I don't think I can help that person. I don't know what I would do. I don't have any special skills. They don't need my help. God used men and women throughout history with similar doubts as you and me to change the world. God used people just like you and me that had similar doubts about our abilities, our talents, our gifts, our skills. He used those people to change the world. Moses did not want to lead, and yet God said, you're my man. I have chosen you. And he's like, Lord, he started pointing out all the reasons that God shouldn't choose him. God, I think you got the wrong guy. I'm not him. I think it's somebody else. Have you ever heard me talk? Is basically what he said to God. I got a problem. I'm always stuttering and stammering, and you don't need me standing before kings. And God's already got his mind made up. And God goes, no, you're my man. Well, God, but really, you need to think about this. And God's like, I already made up my mind. And he's so nervous about obeying. I love Moses because I'm the same way. God, you could probably find somebody else better to do this job. And God said, I already picked you. Well, but have you thought about, you know. David is another one of those people that God chose to do great things. And he was at the end of the list. He was the youngest of all these brothers. He should have been the last one picked. And they didn't even bring him up when the prophet of God was looking for the next king of Israel. And he said, bring all your sons up here. And they start looking at all the sons. And they're like, yeah, that's it. And he said, well, is that it? That's the last one? He said, well, we got one more. But he's like, he's a runt, and he's out on the back 40, and he's not really special. He's just out there singing a lot. And the prophet of God says, go get him, and brings him up there. And he says, this is the one. This is exactly the one that God has picked to do the work that needs to be done. David ends up killing the giant, becoming the king, does all kinds. He wasn't perfect, but God used him along the way. You feel like the runt on the backside of the field somewhere? Sometimes we all do. But God wants to use us. God wants to bless us. The reality is that God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. Listen, he wants to work. Amen. He wants to work in you. He's got all the gifts you need. All you got to do is say yes. God uses people who are available. That's it. That's all he's looking for. You got room in your schedule for me, is what God is asking. If you got room, I got the gifts. I got the place. I'm going to help you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be there for you. Some of us we're waiting for something big to happen, and we're ignoring God's phone calls every day. They're not really phone calls. They're spiritual calls, and we're just like, I don't know. This is God. I don't think I have time for that one right now. You know how you do when the person calls that you're like, ooh, this is going to be a long one. I don't have time for that right now. Some of you have been looking at that same person for so long, they're just like, their phone must not be working. God's thinking the same thing. I've been leaving messages. I've been sending texts. I've been sending signs. I've been sending people, and they just won't listen. It's just not doing what I'm asking them to do. God's looking for people who are available. That's as simple as that. He wants us to love people. Sometimes he puts mean people in your path just so you can learn to love them. Because he's developing you. Oh, he cares about them too, but I almost feel like God's going to watch this one. This is going to be funny. He's going to have to learn to love better. He's going to have to learn to serve better when he gets through with this person. See, God is wanting to use us for his glory. He wants us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Hebrews 10:24. This is it right here. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. How can you encourage somebody else to get out of their comfort zone, use their gifts, and love people in their life? How can you, what can you and I do? Come on to the piano, everybody. How, what can you do to encourage somebody else along the way to serve and love in an even deeper way? You see, you can only stand in front of the refrigerator so long. There's only so much pizza in that plastic bag that's left from last night. There's only so many slices of cheese, and there's only so many potato chips. There's only so much. And then you're left standing there, and you've tried it all, and yet you still got that thing. I was like, I'm just not satisfied. I know I'm full, but I'm just not satisfied. Loving and serving others is the way we find fulfillment. It's the way we scratch that itch. It's the way we do what God's calling us to do. That's why it's one of our core values around here. We're going to love God, but we're going to love people. We're going to love each other. We're going to love each other. We say this all the time. This is a church full of imperfect people. If you're perfect, you can't come to church here. We won't allow it. Because you're going to mess it up for the rest of us. This is a group of people who just understands the grace of God. We need the grace of God in our lives every single day. And I can love people so much better when I realize that I'm not perfect, that I don't have it all together, that there's probably areas of my life that still aren't healthy, that I still need to work on a little bit. It helps me extend grace to them so that I can love my neighbor as myself. When I'm looking at them and pointing out their flaws, I look back at me and go, ooh, I got just as many. It's easy to love them because I know they're seeing all those flaws in me. That's what this is about. That's a value that keeps us going down the lane in the right direction. That we love people. That we're concerned about people. That we want to be all that God's asking us to be and serve Him in greater ways than we ever dreamed that God could use us personally. Let's stand together, everybody. What right now is it that you just feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit saying, I need you to step out in faith. I need you to serve that person or those people. I need you to love that person or love those people. What's He saying to you right now? Not what did this message say to you. What is the Word of God saying to you? The Bible says this, His word won't return void. It's going to produce fruit in us. It's going to produce change in us. When we open the book, we can't help but be changed in some way. So what is God saying this morning? How does God want you to love better? How does God want you to serve better? What is God asking you to do? It might be just a little bitty tweak. It might just be a bad attitude at work. Come on, somebody. It might be that you got to step out in a big way and say, let me follow the voice of God, because I've been standing in front of this spiritual refrigerator for so long and I'm just not satisfied. What is God doing? Where's God leading you? How's God working? To love our neighbor as ourselves. Be willing to accept the challenge. What is God saying? What is God doing? What is God saying? What is God doing? Where's God leading me? If you don't know Jesus this morning, if you don't know Jesus above everything else, I want you to know Him. I want you to start a relationship with Christ. Here's what we say around here. It's as easy as ABC. You have to admit that you sinned. You got to believe in Jesus. You got to confess Him as Lord of your life. Jesus, You're Lord of my life. I want to surrender to You. I give You my whole life. And you start your journey with Him. Here's going to be the temptation for all of us. We walk out of here and we forget that God is speaking to us and working in us right now. I want to challenge you. whether you feel like you're doing great and you're serving and loving people, or if you just are just starting to learn how to love and serve people, whichever extreme you're on, it's okay. But to say, let me take a step, just one next step in the direction that God is guiding me, one next step in the direction God is leading me, and see what God does. Just see what God does. Moses was on the backside of a desert, and God found him. I mean, he just, go home and read it. Miraculously found him and just called him, and yet he still didn't feel called. He still didn't feel it. Some days you do these things because it's the thing that God said to do, not because you feel it in your heart. Can't walk on feelings every day. Some days I feel like just punching the devil in the mouth. I just feel it. I'm just strong. Other days I'm like, I don't really want him showing up today. I'm not feeling real strong today. Well, here's what I know. Values keep me headed in the right direction. So that when I'm feeling a little off, keeps me going in the right direction. Love God, love other people. Amen. Can we give him some praise right now? Before I let you go, I want to recognize somebody that's here this morning. Marla Sharp is right over there. She's actually sitting under the light right there, like a spotlight. Robert and Marla Sharp have been friends of ours for many years. You know them here. We've been supporters of Bridges. It's a missions organization in Honduras. It ministers to kids, and they just do such a great job. And I'm just, thank you for being here this morning, Marla. And I think I can't tell who's back there with you. Anyway, all right. But if you have a chance, go by and say hello. Let Marla know you're glad she's with us today. Father, bless us today as we go. Help us to put you first and honor you this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you, everybody.